This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you missed any part of it, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We got Brandon Darby coming up about a half hour from now. What's going on with the migrant caravans? Mexico, he's going to give us a skinny on some illegal immigration talk. We're about to tackle a lot of this Scott Bessent testimony from today, incoming Treasury Secretary, and all that and some other things. Let's deal with this. He said a lot of good things today, Scott Bessent. He's the Treasury Secretary, so he's not going to be your God King overall, but Treasury Secretary is an important position. He said some things today that people need to hear.
We do not have a revenue problem in the United States of America. We have a spending problem. Today, as you stated, and to be clear, this is one of the things that got me out from behind my desk and my quiet life in this campaign, was the thought that this spending is out of control. We are spending about 24, 25% of GDP. So as you said, 6.8 to 7% deficit. We have never seen this before when it is not a recession or not a war.
We are spending at World War II levels in peacetime. This is something I have always and will always be hot on, is spending. And that is not popular lots of the time, especially when your party takes over. It's easy to scream about spending when it's the communists spending a bunch of money for tranny surgeries in Mozambique. It's more difficult to criticize spending when it comes from Republicans. But most normies, I know you already make this connection, but most of the normies and normas out there, they do not make the connection between that latest $1 trillion spending bill and the fact that eggs cost a fortune. Now, I got this email. Jesse, you said eggs were $5. I wish. I live in Oregon and eggs are $14. I might have to buy chickens if I want to keep eating omelets. The reason you can't afford eggs is government spending. The reason you can't afford most of life the way you used to be able to afford it is government spending. Government spending. Government spending. Not just Democrat government spending. Republican government spending. And I've used this analogy before. I'll use it again because it's true. Right now in this country, we have a big party. Both political parties are enjoying it. They're both running this party. We have rented out the biggest rec center in the world, Dave and Buster's. We rented out Dave and Buster's, the biggest Dave and Buster's ever. And boy, the credit card has been going and going and going. And we've been doing whatever we want in Dave and Buster's. Oh, man, you want to do you want to play some more darts? Go play some darts. Let's play some video games. Give me another round of tequila. Woo, party time. And both parties have been doing it. Spend, 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 spend. And you get to act like the good guy when you're the one doing all the spending. Oh, look, I gave you a stimmy check for this and a check for that. We'll give you money for this. And I brought another $50 million home for my district. And, oh, you sound like a great guy. Nobody wants to be the one who says, credit cards maxed out. Turn the music off. Turn the lights on. No more bowling. No more darts. No more tequila shots. Here's a mop, here's a broom, it's time to start cleaning because that party did a whole lot of damage. And what drives me insane is every single person in Washington, D.C. I've ever talked to, in the House, Senate, all of them, they all know it. To a man, to a woman, they all know it's unsustainable. They love using that word, unsustainable. This kind of spending is unsustainable. They all know that not only are we already suffering because of the spending, that worse suffering is coming. And even though they know it, None of them, not one, well, not many, have the guts to actually do something about it. Isn't that so crazy? A car that is racing towards the cliff's edge, and you know you have to hit the brakes, and all you do is hammer the gas. It drives me nuts watching it because I know what it means for the American people. I don't care what it means for approval ratings or politicians or any of that stuff. I know what it means for you. American citizens unable to afford ground beef is unacceptable. And it's happening because of Washington, D.C. That's a fact. And no one wants to stop it. He talked about Trump's tariffs a little bit.
One will be for remedying unfair trade practices, either by industry or country. The Chinese tariffs, the steel. Two, maybe for a more generalized tariff as a revenue raiser for the federal budget. And three, President Trump, I think, has added a third use of tariffs, as you said, as a skilled negotiator he believes that we've probably gotten over our skis a bit on sanctions, and that sanctions may be driving countries out of the use of the U.S. dollar. So the tariffs can be used for negotiations, whether it's for Mexico on the fentanyl crisis.
We'll see how the tariffs get implemented. We'll see how much of this is a threat versus how much of it's getting implemented. We've talked about this before, how Trump is very clearly using them, especially with Canada and Mexico, as a negotiation tool. We want better rates. We want help with illegal immigration. We want this. We want that. I don't think, from what I see, that he actually wants to slap tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I think it's a negotiation tool. Other countries? Well, Trump's a believer in tariffs. He is. He has talked about them lovingly for ages. As I've said many times, he is very much a Teddy Roosevelt-style Republican. Roosevelt was different, much more populist, much less free market type, kind of a big government, tariff-loving, kind of a protectionist-type Republican. Fascinating human being, definitely had some different views on politics than a lot of people traditionally on the conservative side. Trump is very much from that same vein, which... maybe that's a New York thing, since they were both born and bred New Yorkers. I don't know. He talked about China. Remember when China hacked the Treasury? Yeah.
As we saw from the December 8th hack by some Chinese entities into the Treasury, which is very serious, that was through a work-from-home software app. So one of the policies that I support, I intend to be in the building every day that I am in Washington, and I support a return to the office, which is against the current Treasury policy.
Okay, sounds good. Now, let's talk about what I didn't like. And this won't be popular, but he said this.
First of all, I want to emphasize that President Trump has said that Social Security and Medicare will not be touched.
I understand as a politician, no matter which side you're on, you can never, ever, 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 ever say anything about Social Security or Medicare outside of, we'll protect it. That's all you're allowed to say. We'll protect it. No, we're going to protect it. I get that. And I also understand that you cannot pull the rug out from old people who paid into these systems their entire lives and now deserve to get what they thought they were paying into their whole lives. I get that as well. I get both those things. But you can't save the United States of America unless they are touched. You have to touch them. That doesn't mean you have to rip them away, take them away from people. You better start touching them like it's Epstein Island. You better touch these things. You have to come up with some sort of a plan, because when we have 10,000 new people retiring every single day, the government's blowing through cash like you can't imagine. Go look at a pie chart of the U.S. budget. Social Security and Medicare are like the whole freaking thing besides the military. You can't just not touch it. And the military, by the way, same thing. You can't solve our crisis, our fiscal crisis, without touching it. I didn't say you have to eliminate it. That's crazy. I'm not saying that about any of it. But you better start touching it and touching it a lot. It's time to have a ditty party with the old Social Security and Medicare stuff. Now, I wished I'd put that differently, Chris. Let's talk about pain. Chris is in pain now since I said that. Maybe Relief Factor will help. Chris, have you been taking your Relief Factor every single day? Do you know it's 100% drug-free? And it won't just mask that pain you're feeling right now. Relief Factor takes it away. It's a unique formula, natural ingredients. Your body is already trying to fight that inflammation. You have to give your body some help. That's why your back still hurts. That's why your neck hurts all the time. That's why your quad hurts. That's why your foot hurts. Your body doesn't have what it needs to fight that inflammation off all the way. Relief Factor is what you need. You are $19.95 away from getting rid of your pain, or at least having it turned way down. You realize that? They sell three-week quick start kits, $19.95. If it doesn't work, don't order anymore. Almost everyone orders more for a reason. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And I swear on my life, Jewish producer Chris just said Led Zeppelin was from Australia. AC/DC's from Australia. Led Zeppelin? American, Chris. Absolutely American. I'm pretty sure about it. Yeah, it is your bad, Chris. It is your bad. Anyway, we have Brandon Darby coming up. 10 minutes from now, he's going to talk a bit about the border. We forget about the border and everything that's happening on the border. Also, in case you don't know, granted, this came out a couple hours ago, but I realize how much you rely on me as a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
The FBI has announced that it's closing its DEI office, and everyone's celebrating this today. Slow down on that. And here's why. It's not that I want the FBI to have a DEI office. Nobody should have a DEI office. DEI is communism. It's cultural Marxism. It's evil. It's wrong. It's horrible. So I don't want them to have a DEI office. But I guarantee you this is part of an effort right now for the people to hide the evil things they've been doing inside of the walls of the government, including the FBI. They are closing everything they can. I promise you, emails are getting deleted. Remember, we already had the pictures of a very large shredder truck pulling up in front of the Department of Justice. And there's nothing we can do about it, but wait. That's what's frustrating. We're sitting here. It's, what, 4 days? 4 days till Monday, depending on which day you get. Whatever. 4 days until the inauguration. But we've had nothing to do but sit and watch and take it as these scumbags have deleted everything, sprung criminals loose, handed out gobs and gobs of your money as fast as they can possibly hand it to Ukraine and everyone else. We don't have any choice but to sit and watch and take it. And it hurts. But I saw a DEI office getting closed. You know what I saw? I saw people coming up with a reason to delete even more and shred even more so Kash Patel can't get in there and expose all the misdeeds that go on inside of the Hoover building. Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, those are the two people who have the biggest mountain to climb. Yes, Scott Bessent was great today as we've been playing you over and over and over again. He's been wonderful. Russ Vaught was awesome today. There are awesome people coming. Rubio acquitted himself very well. The most important people are Pam Bondi and Kash Patel. What can they do to people in the government who've committed these crimes? What will they do? I don't know. Back to Scott Bessent. I like that these nominees so far, the Trump ones, have been super calm. At the same time, they're not afraid to whip these dirty commies.
Senator Wyden, just so we can frame this for everyone in the room, China will build 100 new coal plants this year. There is not a clean energy race. There is an energy race. China will build 10 nuclear plants this year. That is not solar. I am in favor of more nuclear plants.
He needs to hear that. He went after Wyden.
All through the campaign, we heard they weren't, that foreign countries were going to pay it. I think that's baloney. It's going to be paid for by workers and small businesses. So, your response.
Yes, Senator, I would respectfully disagree. And the history of tariffs and tariff theory, optimal tariff theory, does not support what you're saying.
Yeah. Martina Navratilova, she's that women's tennis player. She has been very, very vocal about the trannies in women's sports stuff, about dudes in women's sports stuff. And she's in the news again because she's chastising Democrats for voting against the men and women's sports bill. And that's fine. Look, I'm happy she's being an activist on the right side of things now. But again, she's another one of these people who paved the road to where we are now. She paved it as hard and fast as she could possibly pave it. And now that the road is paved, she doesn't like how fast the cars are driving up and down the road. You did the paving. This takes me back to one thing that disgusts me about Nancy Mace, who's all over the news anymore, yelling about tranny this and tranny that. We can't have trannies in our bathroom. I don't want to have to use the bathroom with a man. Nancy Mace shattered the glass ceiling at the Citadel, which was an all-male military institution, until she had to go barnstorming through the doors of it. I am woman, hear me roar. Look at me, I'm a woman. I can do anything a man can do. Woohoo! What's that? A tranny in my bathroom? This is an outrage. You want to shatter these walls? You want to break up societal norms every time you find one? And then eventually, too many get broken down and it gets uncomfortable for you. Sorry. I'm fresh out of sympathy. Jesse, I get why you're down on officers, but all aren't the same. I worked my way through college ironworking, shoveling asphalt, and athletic scholarships. I quit college a semester before graduating to go to boot camp during Desert Shield. It was over before I could get there, so I got sent back home to go to OCS. I passed up a guaranteed air contract to compete to be an infantry officer, and I made it. Does that sound like an American you can't connect with? Oh, no, you sound like a stud. And it's not that I don't like officers. I don't like most officers. In fact, dislike is probably too kind of a word for it. But a great officer who leads from the front, who leads his men, nothing better in the world. It is a lie that I don't like officers. I don't like bad ones, and most of them are bad and useless. All right. I think we should move on and talk to Brandon Darby, don't you? Let's get an update on the border next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I thought it's probably best if we figure out exactly what's going on south of the border right now, because Trump's going to be there in 3 or 4 days. There are going to be radical changes to how we handle the border by the grace of God. And who better to give us all the skinny on that than Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Joining us now is Brandon Darby. Okay, Brandon, what are we expecting and how quickly are we expecting it? I realize that's the most open-ended question, but the floor is yours.
Trump took office. He really couldn't. He had to populate government, right? And he populated it with a lot of folks that the establishment wanted. And he was trying to get along. That's not the case this time. This time he has Homan. He has a number of people. He has Sebastian Gorka with terrorism. He has people who are no-nonsense folks. And I think that very quickly what we're going to see is Mexico being pressured to do something about these paramilitary transnational criminal organizations that we call cartels, very quickly we're going to see a situation where they're going to have a lot more heat on them. We'll put it that way. Right now, there are leaders in Mexican cartels, like some of the biggest ones, like El Mincho, for instance, from CJNG. And there is nothing, locating them isn't the problem with all of our intelligence and all. It's not the problem. The problem is that there is 0% chance that Mexico is going to give someone up, right? There's very, very low chance that someone that big is paying people is going to get got. When it came to El Chapo, it was a little bit of a different story. For years, we couldn't get him, but he made the wrong people mad, and then Mexico wanted to get him. But I think that if the U.S. prioritizes going after some of these guys, and I think that they will with the Trump administration, I think that it's going to ultimately happen. So I'm very excited about what this means for cartels. I'm very excited about, a lot of things when it comes to Trump taking over as, as a guy who's been screaming about the border for many, many years, to finally see it be such a big issue was very good for me, very meaningful. And now to see it be such a big issue and the right people be in places to do something about it, I don't think that's such a bad deal.
No, I don't think it's such a bad deal either. Brandon Darby joining us, Breitbart Cartel Chronicles. Okay, Brandon, let me ask you something. It may be a really stupid question, but you're used to that. You come on to this show. Let's say the Mexican government changes their minds, whether Trump helps them do that or not, and they want to take down, one of these big shots like the guy you just mentioned. Can they?
Well,
meaning physically, can they do it?
Physically, they can. They have the Mexican Marines. They have the ability. I mean, there's a number of cartel fighting units in Mexico. They have the ability to do it, but do they have the political will to do it whenever these guys face so many people? No. So do I think that Mexico is going to change their mind? I think Mexico's minds can be changed with the right pressure. I mean, it's a balancing act. They're trying to do this thing where they're playing. They're kind of like, hey, China, the U.S. wants to do this, and the U.S. will give us this. And then China's like, okay, here's an Xbox. And then they're like, hey, USA, China wants to give us this, and like a divorced family or something with step parents, right? And they're trying to play that game with the United States. But ultimately, I think, they're right below us. And I think the United States is under a Trump administration. I don't see them allowing Mexico to cozy up further to China. I think that at the point that level of a national security threat starts to really form and take root, I think that this administration will do something about it. I think there's a lot of things they can do. I think we're in a situation where the government next door to us is not our equal, right? They are a fragile state, according to the United Nations. They are not a failed state, but they are fragile. They're close. They're going in that direction. They have over half of their territories controlled by paramilitary transnational criminal organizations who have the same weaponry that the military has in most cases. And then that central government, many of the leadership are paid money by these cartels. So what do you do with that situation? You cannot compare, as problematic as we have it, as many problems as we have as a country, we are not them. We are not a failing narco state. And, and I think that treating Mexico that way, trying to treat Mexico like we're dealing with the UK or like we're dealing with France doesn't work out well, right? That's something that people with libtardation do. That's that thing where you're like, well, it doesn't matter what the facts are. This is what I want the world to be. So we're just going to treat them like they're, every other Western industrialized democracy. And we can't treat them that way. They're a failing narco state. They're taking advantage of us. They're allowing bad things to happen to our people. Drugs are being, brought through there, being made there, being made by their people here. that are killing our people. And there's a lot of bad that's coming from that corruption in Mexico. And so I think this administration, if any administration can do it, I think this one can.
Brandon, what role does China play in the drug trafficking? There's a lot. I know China, you already brought up where they play economically. And there's always a lot of chatter about China makes the fentanyl, China this, China that. How official is it? How much of a role do they play? Talk about that.
Well, I think a better way to say that is China makes the precursor chemicals, right? And I don't think a lot happens in China. I mean, we look at the level of control and of surveillance that centralized government has over its population. So if networks of people are developing precursor chemicals for fentanyl and methamphetamine, and those networks are sending large quantities to Mexico, the central government of China knows that who it is, and they know what they're doing, right? They know what they're doing. And so, you know, in this country, you could make the excuse and say, or in Texas, you could say, oh, the, you know, Abbott doesn't realize that there's people making meth in this trailer park, or you could pull that off, right? Or because we have a lot more freedom and a lot more privacy. But in China, no way. They absolutely know that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tons of precursor chemicals for fentanyl are going to Mexico. They know they have shipping manifests for that. They're not stupid. They know everything that's going on in the country for the most part. And so I think that, you know, now we're getting into my opinions, right, when we say this, but, you know, I think it's payback. It's like retribution. You know, it's like, hey, you guys want to pump up, you want to give us opium, and you want to, you know, like, well, now it's your turn. And I think it's a form of payback. I think it's trying to erode our society. It's kind of like the COVID thing. Do I think that the government of China intentionally created it to release? No. Do I think that once it was released, once it was out in the public, do I think that they made dang sure the rest of the world was hobbled with them? Yeah, I do. And I think that for just simple reasons, like they didn't shut down flights. They shut down flights from Wuhan, like in domestically, but not internationally. You know, why would they do that? Right. Well, you know, that's who they are. That's what they are. They play a very long game, and they've been willing. I mean, they have large swaths of their population in internment camps, right? Their own people, you know, in re-education camps. And there's been constant issues with organ harvesting, and that was state sanctioned, you know, where they were harvesting organs of political prisoners and Uyghurs and Falun Gong and selling them. But, you know, it's just, this is who this country is. And so do I think that they're aware that of who is making precursor chemicals? Yes. Do I think they're aware of what's happening with those chemicals? Absolutely. I absolutely do. And do I think that it's successful and that it's actually eroding our own civilization over here? Absolutely. You know, absolutely. How many of us don't? I mean, I think everyone in this country now knows someone either who has someone very close to them who has been impacted or killed by fentanyl, or we know someone. I mean, I know a ton of people, and I don't hang out with drug addicts, but I know a lot of people who have relatives who have died of fentanyl, you know, because they got a shot with fentanyl on it when they relapsed or whatever. So this has affected all of our lives, you know. So again, having an administration that's not toeing the line, that's gonna stand up to that. I can't say that they are, but I can tell you that at least they say they are when the other side wasn't saying that, right? So, you know, at least they're addressing the issue, you know?
Yeah, at least there's something.
So China knows what they're doing.
Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Go read all of his stuff. I certainly do, as always. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Now,
bye-bye.
You're going to thank me for what I'm about to tell you next. I know about a product, if you will, now that we're talking about drug trafficking. I know about a product that can keep your dog alive longer and healthier. And it's not illegal. Rough Greens sells it. They're traffickers, if you will. Traffickers of natural herbal supplements for your puppy. You want to keep your dog away from the vet. You want your dog to have a shinier coat. Fred used to have digestive problems after every freaking meal. Rough Greens solved it like that. I don't remember last time he's had one. a natural nutritional supplement for your dog and your cat. They have it for cats as well. You don't have to change out your dog's food. You sprinkle it on the food because there's no nutrition in the food. Your dog, your cat never get nutrition. Rough Greens can give it to them. Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Just got done with Brandon Darby. If you want some economic stuff, we'll have Carol Roth next hour. Going guest crazy on a Thursday. Speaking of crazy, tomorrow is going to be crazy. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we've talked before about how you have to deal severely with communists. You cannot live and let live with them. You cannot take a hands-off approach. It's part of the reason America was so infiltrated by them. America in general, because we were a freedom-loving people, live and let live, hands off. Our freedom-loving society was actually ripe to be infiltrated and infected by the communist menace because he can do what he wants here. We have to change that way of thinking. You can still be a freedom-loving people. In fact, the only way you can be a freedom-loving people is if you run the communist menace out of your society. Freedom and communism do not exist, not together. So that brings me to just this little story, Texas A&M. It's thought of as a more of a right-wing school. Certainly College Station, the area where Texas A&M is, it's right-wing, military. But like all universities, they've got a hardcore communist streak running through them. They were getting ready to take a trip. And this trip, it was going to be a DEI trip, meaning whiteys need not apply. Texas's governor, who I've had a lot of problems with, Governor Abbott, says, don't go on that trip or the president of Texas A&M is fired. They canceled the trip. It's a little example that doesn't matter for you in your personal life, but that is how you must deal with communists. It has to be severe. They are an aggressive, demonic, anti-human infection on the planet, and they have to be dealt with aggressively. You can't back off or lay off, or they never learn. Speaking of learning, few local stories out there. This is from L.A.
At that commission meeting, You said it's dire. Someone will die.
It's eerie listening to your words because that's what occurred. So it's... Let me just take a minute. Sorry.
Fire Captain Freddie Escobar.
You're not supposed to make me cry.
35-year veteran of the Los Angeles Fire Department wishes he'd been wrong, and this had not happened.
He warned, he was ignored, and this is a reminder, people die when you vote Democrat. Period. It's deadly to vote Democrat. Deadly. It's life and death. Oakland, they're having all kinds of problems in Oakland. Fire department takes 11 minutes to get there. Why? Fire station was shut down, budget cuts.
Three-bedroom home went up in flames in the middle of the night in the Oakland Hills.
When I went outside thinking that the fire department was going to be here relatively quickly, I didn't hear anything.
Rosemary Gray called 911 as the fire on Lockhart Street in the Chabot Park neighborhood raged at about 1 Wednesday morning. But it took the first firefighters 11 minutes to get there because the city shut down Fire Station 28 just minutes away, a result of budget cuts.
I don't think you get to compromise my safety. I think that I am a property taxpayer. I think I pay for the service. I think I should get the service that I pay for.
Who'd you vote for? That's all I want to know. You say you paid for it. If you voted Democrat, you voted pro-crime policies. Pro-crime policies that have run businesses out of Oakland As the businesses leave, the tax base erodes, budget cuts will have to happen, and the fire station closes down. Who did you vote for? Chicago. They're angry about these store closures.
It's a bad issue. It's bad. We need Walgreens. We need it because our medicine, we're seniors.
The second largest pharmacy store chain in the U.S. announced it's closing 5 stores by the end of February in neighborhoods on the city's south and west sides.
Walgreens is, they're still trying to make their money, but they don't want to do it in the black and brown community.
No, when they go into the black and brown community of these big cities, the stores are routinely pillaged by criminals, and therefore it's bad for the bottom line, so you can't keep the store open. Now, why are criminals allowed to run around like the feral little dogs they are in places like Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles? Because Democrats are pro-criminal, they're pro-feral, they turn the criminals loose, and if anything, they attack law-abiding citizens. So again, citizen of Chicago, angry about Walgreens, who did you vote for? Did you go vote for Brandon Johnson last time? Brandon Johnson, if you study the Chicago electoral map, he won because Chicago's black neighborhoods chose him. Did you vote based on skin color last time? If you did, bye-bye Walgreens, and it's your fault. It is time to be stern with communists. All of them. Be stern with the Democrat in your life who whines about inflation and whines about crime and whines about fire and whines about this. You voted for this. Tell them that over and over and over and over again until you beat it into their heads. People have got to start owning their decisions. You die and get poorer when you vote Democrat. Stop doing that. We still have an hour left. Carol Roth will be joining us. We'll get to some emails, some other things. Doug Burgum said some smart stuff today. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.